Okay, Ken, this is all starting to make sense, but I'm still confused about how spirit fits into the integral model. I've heard you describe spirit as both a line of development and a level of development. Can you clarify this for me? And also, I'd love some insight into skillful means when it comes to communicating with others about spirituality.
Well, let me expand that just a little bit and say that those are indeed, I think, two of the most important ways that people talk about spirit, and I think they're both accurate. In the book Integral Psychology, I give at least four or five major ways that the word spirit is used. And in A Sociable God, I actually give nine. But let me just touch on actually three or four of them. And let me preface it by saying what I'm claiming is that, and I do this often in a lot of work, before you go in and say, what's the relation of science and religion? You have to say, what do you mean by science and what do you mean by religion? And most people talk about these things in a blithe way as if everybody agrees on what science is and everybody agrees what spirituality is. And so we just set a new paradigm and we're going to have science and religion together and that kind of stuff. And that has gotten us nowhere in 30 years. Really, it's a shambles taking that approach. So I'm much more likely to start out and say, if you listen to the way people use the word spirituality, here are three or four major ways that they use that word, and I think all of them are correct. In other words, obviously, I think an integral approach would include all of them. And one of them, the most common, is probably as an altered state or peak experience. And somebody will have a religious experience. They'll have an altered state. And William James's Varieties of Religious Experience, still a classic one. Most mystical experiences are altered states or peak experiences, and they are indeed states of consciousness. And we have reason to believe that generically there's at least gross, subtle, causal, non-dual types, states of consciousness. But that's important, and it's an important one to realize because the other two involve stages, and this one and the other one I'm going to mention don't involve stages. And there's been a big battle from the beginning, particularly in transpersonal psychology. People would look at the conceptions of spirit that involved a stage, like spirit was the highest transpersonal stages, and they would go, wait a minute, that means a five-year-old can't have a spiritual experience, so that means you have to be at the highest levels to have it? I disagree. So we got all sorts of arguments because people weren't including all of these. So a very common usage that people already use, and that I think there is a great deal of validity to, is that spirit can involve an altered state or peak experience. A second way that it's used is indeed as a stage, and here it usually means the highest stage. And if you listen to how people talk about it, it's common that people will say, if you take the affective line of development, emotional line of development, then the lower emotions like rage or egocentric or ethnocentric hatred, most people won't call that spiritual. But transpersonal or transrational love, universal compassion, people tend to think of that as spiritual, and they'll use the word spiritual. Indeed, the whole school of transpersonal psychology came from that one definition. The highest stage in any line is spiritual. And so that's another use. Some people would look at that, James Fowler most particularly, and would say, well, I think there's a lot to stage conceptions, and we have to include stages. But that doesn't, and spirit isn't just a passing altered state, so there has to be some third way to talk about it. And people indeed do talk about it this way, and that is namely that spirit can be looked upon, or part of spirit, or dimension of spirituality, can itself be a developmental line. And that means that like cognitive development or moral development, we would talk of spiritual development. And we know people say, you know, he's very spiritually evolved. They talk that way. They say he's highly spiritually developed, but he might not be highly mathematically developed, or she might not be highly musically developed. So it's a classic case of spirituality being treated as its own intelligence. We actually have people writing books called spiritual intelligence, meaning like emotional intelligence or cognitive intelligence and so on. I think that's valid. And James Fowler actually has come, you know, has done quite a bit of research on stages of religious faith. And not surprisingly, like virtually all stages we look at, they are variations on things like archaic, magic, mythic, mental, integral, and so on. So that's a third way. And a fourth way I'll mention briefly is it's an attitude. people like to say, well, spirituality, it's an attitude of love wherever you are, or an attitude of openness, or an attitude of basic trust, or so on. And that's fine. The problem is I don't tend to use that as often, because if you really look at it, it devolves into one of the others. So you can say, okay, it's an attitude of love. Do you mean egocentric love? No? Okay. Do you mean ethnocentric love? No? Okay. You mean world-centric love? Oh, you mean it's an attitude at the higher stages. So, but I include that as a common use, because it is a common use. But like I say, it usually doesn't stand on its own very well. And then I'm going to mention one other that I didn't mention in Integral Psychology, but I did mention in A Sociable God, because in Integral Psychology I was talking about authentic spiritual experience. But there's another very common meaning, and this people use religion more for this meaning instead of spirituality. But there's a certain sense in which any belief you have that's held with ultimate concern at any stage of development is, in a sense, your religious belief. And there it's very similar to looking at spirituality as its own line. So you can have archaic religion, magical religion, mythic religion, rational religion, integral religion, and so on. So those are I'm going to still stick with those, mostly those three. It can be, it's the highest stages, it's its own lawn, or it's a state. And I believe those are authentic aspects of spirituality, and all of them need to be included. So with that broad overview, your specific question had to do with skillful means in communicating the whole idea of spirit, right?